All right, so what I was telling you was, so there's a brewery in town called Weathered Souls. They're originally out of San Antonio, Texas. And they're closing. Like, for all sorts of shenanigans, they just never took off. And they were touted as a black-owned brewery because that's who owned them. Like, they original guys in San Antonio opened one in here because they thought, honestly, I think they just thought it'd be easy money. And it wasn't because it was just a mess of an opening. Well, they announced finally they're closing. And I say finally, not like happy, but like they couldn't get their act together. So the news puts Charlotte's first black-owned brewery closes its doors Saturday. And I went, that's not true. Because there was another one down the street from us called Three Spirits. They closed in 2019. They were the first ones. So I went and did the research like, your local news should actually do, just to make sure, and just blew them up. Like, it's just basic research. All I did was put Google. I'm sorry, I didn't put Google. I used Google, what's on your phone, the most used search engine in the world. I'm not like one of these guys, but I understand why people don't listen to the news. You can't get basic shit right. Anyways. Hey, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 940, I believe. I am Jeremy. The quiet soul on the other side is Mr. Chris. What's going on, man?
Not a heck of a lot. Not starting feuds with the local media here.
It's not a
This is
few. This
already
is
the
a
point.
slam dunk on a kindergartner. Like, it's. And this is the news she insists on watching in the morning. Because, one, watching the news is for old people. And I just don't do it. And it's the same awful banter that they always get. It's always like the guy's having fun, and then they've got the woman news anchor who's so uptight. Like, the guys are, like, cutting up, and she's like, come on. All right, so next up, and then I was like, get her out of here. And then just they don't tell you anything. People get murdered. They give you traffic every 11, no, every 30 minutes now, because they realize everyone has Waze, I'm hoping. But not a big news fan. So, anyways, well, we're supposed to be covering WrestleMania, and they finally gave us a sort of starting. I say sort of because card subject to change. The lineups for both nights. I know Kevin wanted us to do one night. I don't remember which one we were supposed to do anymore. I don't know. Did we agree to do one night?
I think we completely changed that, didn't we?
Okay, so
Or
it we.
you made that decision.
Okay, so that was me. No. I just said if they didn't announce the cards, we just make it up as we go along like usual. Which is not what I said, but I'm being nice about it. Like, just wing it like normal. So, I also looking at the two nights. Like, I remember something you said on one of our shows about, man, I hope these aren't going to turn into a lot of multi-person matches. You look at this card, outside of like the ones they really care about, everything is a multi-person match now.
See, now I don't count I don't count six person tags as multi-person.
That's six teams, though. You know? Like, whoa, like,
Yeah.
hang on, man. If it was like four or even three, then sure. Six teams? Holy God. And we can start with that one if you want. The problem is I don't have the lineup in front of me. Stupid ass. This is why I don't do. This is why I'm not in charge of stuff most of the time. Let me see. Let me pull up our group chat. Okay. Okay. So I don't even remember who all's in this. DIY, Judgment Day, Mustache Mountain, or British Strong Style. I don't know what their new name is. I don't care. For now, there was that rumor that got out, Theory and Waller may be taken out of the match. I guess I don't know if that's died down or not. Who am
I think I feel like it's died down.
Who am I missing? I know it's R-Truth and Miz, and Well,
New Day.
Yes, thank you. Yes, New Day. You gotta get them on the show. So, you know, the speculation was Waller and Grayson Theory were gonna get taken out because Matt Hardy's contract with AEW is up now, I guess. And who the hell knows what's going on with Jeff Hardy? So I saw a lot of rumblings about, oh my God, the Hardys could come back again.
There is nothing I don't want to see more than that.
I know. Like, do you really want to see Matt in a ladder match?
No, not Matt, not Jeff. They don't need this.
Yeah.
They need to go away. It needs to be over.
Yeah, I mean, it was clear as day Matt is having a very hard time moving. Like, just walking. You see, like, backstage stuff. You're like, God, come on, man. I get it. You don't want to stop, but, I mean, come on. Didn't he say at one point his hip and his leg were fusing together? That was a few years ago. So every time I see him limping, I'm like, oh, boy. But he's not in this match, so. I think we talked about this before. Doesn't this match just kind of lend itself to Miz and R-Truth winning and, like, showing up Judgment Day?
Yeah, I mean, you think that should be how this ends. Miz and Truth were completely off of Raw this week. So that was weird, even though this is supposed to be their story.
Yeah.
But did you catch what Michael Cole said?
No. I'm guessing that not, no.
The match does not end until both sets of championship belts are pulled down.
Oh, so...
So this is how we're splitting these things.
Okay. Well, I guess it's not a bad idea, really. I mean...
No. I mean, the tag team champions can go on whichever show they want, and carrying around two belts each. Yeah, it's definitely done.
It's like when they didn't give them a new title, you know, it was kind of like, all right, they were always going to break these up. Apparently, I mean, it's just what it seemed like. I mean, you know, Roman carried around for a while. No, here, just use this one. I guess didn't that kind of coincide with the world championship, though?
Yeah.
Seth had, so, but yeah, I don't know. A six-person match like this is just, or I'm sorry, a 12-person, six-team match like this, this is going to be chaos. Like, I don't envy the director or the camera guys at all. You know? I mean, I don't even know what to say about the match. It's like, it just seemed like it was so quickly put together. Like, well, not quickly, but like out of the blue. Like, why six teams?
It just seems like they want to get as many people in WrestleMania as possible, and I'm going to assume this is the record amount of people ever in a ladder match.
It would, well, unless there was some indie thing we don't know about, but I would think so.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it's got to be. So yeah, no. It's gonna be pure chaos. I mean, most of the people in this are there to bump. I don't get taking Waller and Theory out of this since they're the only other heels besides the Judgment Day.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't believe that's going to happen.
I mean, unless the Creeds beat them up, but they're good guys too. But I mean, I guess it's a bad guy action. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not thinking that that's how this is gonna go at all. I think they're in the match. I mean, they made a decision not to include Pretty Deadly in it. So
it's disappointing. But if the one guy's shoulder just got blown out, he's back. Let's just not do that right now. You know, let's just err on the side of caution, which is fine. Because they've got more legs under them than... honestly, they got more legs under them than New Day do. Or, well, Judgment Day, because, you know, that's coming to an end eventually. So...
Yeah, no. I mean, Judgment Day is... You know, it's on its last legs.
Yeah, it's,
I don't think it survives the spring at this point.
No, and it's, you know, all good things. They had a really fun run. Even, like, the Dominic stuff's kind of slowing down. We always do predictions. Who are you taking in this tag match?
Well, let's see. I think one tag belt, probably the Raw titles, will end up, will go with Miz and R-Truth. They'll be play it out somehow that, you know, Miz, not Miz, but Truth, you know, pulls the belts down accidentally or something. And then, I don't know. It's a, I guess, Dunn and Bate might be the other ones.
All right, you sticking with those?
Yeah, you know what, I'll stick with those. Although, yeah, no, I'll stick with those. I'll stick with those.
All right. I'm going to, like, all right, if we're going to go with the splitting the belts thing, I don't think it's a smart idea because they're over in every three cities would be DIY. And the reason I'm saying that is they are Triple H guys to the bone. And they'd stay on Raw this way. So they would have the Raw titles. I'm just going with them. And then SmackDown, I almost want to say R-Truth and Miz, and then they get pushed over there. Because even then, like SmackDown has, what, only two teams, right? Grayson, or Waller and Theory, Dunn and Bate. Is that it? Yeah, that's
well,
it.
Well, they got the Street Profits, they got AOP.
Well, no, I meant in the match.
In the match, yeah. They only have two. Yeah. They only have two in the match, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Miz, or either, oh, God damn it, I got to make a story something. All right, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to say SmackDown is DIY, and then Raw will be Miz and Truth. I'll go with you on that one. Although, okay. Like you said, man, I am writing these down, by the way. And like you said, it was weird to not have them on, especially when they had a bunch of, like, backstage montages. Which is a shame we can't talk about Raw a little bit more because I was so happy to see those. And I just hope stuff like that continues. Even if it's goofy as hell. I just like that stuff. Man, we got a lot to go through here. Let's get the small ones or the whatevers out of the way. If you want to say whatevers. LWO versus Santos and Dom. Another one just thrown out at the last second because it was like, hey, we need something for these guys.
Yeah.
It just seems weird, and at least they're acknowledging it with Judgment Day telling Dom, like, you're not telling us what you're doing. So it's, like, kind of confusing. Like, all right, so Judgment Day's dipping their toes with something with SmackDown. Like, Ray and Dom are at it again. It was just kind of strange to me, but I know Dominic also has a history with Dragon Lee, too. So it kind of makes sense, but it just seemed, like, forced. Like, there was no build for, like, Dom talking about his dad a bunch or anything like this. And then here we are. Oh. Like, all right, I guess you guys get a match, too, so... I don't know. I mean, is there anything more to this? Could this possibly be, like, Ray and Dom coming together again? Like, is there anything like this?
No, there's absolutely no chance of that.
I didn't think so either, but I'm just trying to figure out, other than having a match, like, why? You know? But maybe that's just the simple answer. So...
I mean, the simple answer is no one on Santos' side is that over. No one on Ray's side is really that over. Although they're trying to make Dragon Lee the next Rey Mysterio. And then, you know, Dom's the heat magnet, and watching Ray beat him up is always fun.
That's very true. But then Carlito also acted kind of weird.
Yes, he did.
So maybe that's, you know, maybe there's some more to do, because he hasn't really done a whole lot since he got back.
No. It's almost like bringing him back full time was a mistake.
Yeah, you think, when you already got a bunch of other people, but anyways, so there's the quick skinny on that. Who are you taking?
I think it'll be Ray and Dragon Lee, with Dominic taking the fall.
I'm actually going with Santos and Dom, and I think Carlito has something to do with it. And then they can shoot Dragon Lee versus Carlito, or Ray versus Carlito for a while. You know, and then Escobar can move on to something else on SmackDown, and Dom and Andrade can start their feud eventually. So, plus, it sucks if we pick the same teams for everything. So,
yeah.
All right. Whoops, I lost it. Another thrown-together match, which I'm kind of torn on. Bianca, Jade, Naomi, Damage Control. I guess they needed to get Dakota Kai on the show, and they needed to get Jade Cargill on the show. This just wasn't how I expected it to be. I don't know. After that teaser at Royal Rumble, I mean, I guess kind of figured Jade and Bianca would do something, but I don't know. Where are you at with this?
I mean, this is going to simply be a showcase for the baby faces. I mean, that's all that it is. They don't want to throw Jade Cargill to the wolves just yet. Mm-hmm. You know, build to her and Bianca at a later date. Bianca's got her 3-0 at WrestleMania, and she's in that place where she's not in anything featured strongly, so it's just going to be an easy win for the faces.
Yeah, as I just got done saying, it's boring if we take the same thing. I don't think there's any chance, unless somehow Naomi loses, but I just see Dakota eating this L. Like, that's what she's there for. On a quick aside, you saw SmackDown last week, right?
Yeah.
How did you feel about Jade? Like, not in the ring per se, but like when she's physically in the ring with everyone else. She still stood out. Like, she is something otherworldly. Like, and I don't want to say this like this, but, like, she's got, like, a China presence. Like, wait a second. Like, you just have to look at it. And, no, all jokes aside, when China first showed up, it was like, what the hell is this? And it's kind of the same thing with Jade. Like, okay, she wasn't just a big, like, you know, the big fish over there. Like, she does stand out. I thought that was pretty sweet. So, and I know we already had the Rumble, but this was a little bit more, I suppose. More focus on her in that whole thing. So, faces. Faces here. Yep. And, yeah, so. All right. Let's see. We've done 3 from night 1. So, we're just going to keep going with night 1, if you don't mind. These are all out of order, by the way.
Well, the alleged order.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Okay. So, this is the one match that, to me, the build-up's just been ho-hum. For a match I thought would be much bigger, Jimmy versus Jay. Do you agree with that, or am I missing something? Like, they had limited time in the ring, like, facing off with each other, and there really haven't been a lot of backstage, like, vignettes, promos, anything like that. To, like, this is another Bloodline versus Bloodline match. How can this not be getting something else out of it? Or am I just missing something?
No, I mean, I don't think you're missing anything. I think the match is missing something. They tried to play the long game with it, but along with that came Jimmy not winning a match since July, probably. And, you know, Jay, you know, has stayed incredibly over, and he's, you know, it feels like he moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy never did. And there's a way you could do that storyline-wise that at every, and that's what they've done, is, you know, at every turn, Jimmy is there to spoil Jay's happiness. But Jay has also had some of that John Cena booking of, don't ever let them see you not smiling. Don't ever not be happy. You know, I'll always be smiling. Always be dancing to the ring. He's not really cutting intense promos. As I said, Jimmy hasn't won a match since like July. So, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even Monday, he wasn't the one to face Seth Rollins, which.
Which he wouldn't have been. Not in that situation. But then again, Solo has barely won a match since he destroyed Cena.
Exactly. Like, no. He's the one eating all the L's on the house shows, or like the after events as well.
The way that whole thing played out, where you start with teasing The Rock wrestling on Raw and end up with Solo.
That crowd was...
audibly groaned.
That was pretty awesome, actually. Like, didn't even disguise it. And
by the end of the night, it finally got the bloodline booed.
Yeah, but it also
we'll get into that later. But yeah,
but it also was like they didn't shy away from it. Like Roman and Rock, they acknowledged like, oh well, do you think we're gonna do this? Like, okay, because you know how it works. If this was Vince, they wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that they just like pulled the wool under or pulled the rug out from under you. It's like, oh well, you know, yep, Solo's on par with us too. I'm like, no, he's not. But yeah, so like in this, it just seemed like this should have had something else to it. They had that one in-ring thing, which again, I think you even pointed out that Jay's the one that left first, but then they had like the history of Jimmy and Jay on like WWE's Instagram stories, or was it a reel or something? And Jimmy's the one that kicked Roman first, and it was like, well, dude, no, you left first. Like, hang on a sec, you were the one that left. I mean, you're the one kicking Roman in the head, and like they didn't even like address that. Like, look what I did for you. Like, I was always doing stuff for you, but without naming specifics.
No, I mean, you could explain that away as Jay ended up the one in the main event of SummerSlam.
Yeah,
it centered around Jay. It's always about Jay, but they don't. But again, they've never verbalized that.
Yeah, and that's why I said this has been lackluster for something that I really thought was going to be something. You know, it's like another bloodline implosion, if you will, even though it's, you know, still on the way, but. I still think this may be pretty good, though, but a lot of times brother versus brother matches don't really line up. Like, I still have fond memories of the dud that was Jeff and Matt.
Yeah.
So
that never really worked, and I'm concerned that this is not going to be the most exciting match in the world.
No, but I wonder how the crowd's going to be, and it may help. I mean, seeing a whole stadium doing the Jay Yeet thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty fun. Maybe that'll be the hype. And, like, where this lands is the middle of the show. On what we have in front of us. That's usually a spot.
No, I mean, I don't... I think you put this in an on-purpose cooldown spot. Absolutely. It's not what it... Maybe could have been. I mean, you know, you could a personal family thing. I mean, it doesn't hold a candle to Ray and Dominic last year.
No, well,
what?
What I'm saying though is, all right, so our night one match is Rhea Becky the ladder match, LWO, then Jay versus Jimmy, then Bianca and Jade and them, then Gunther and Sammy, and then the tag match at the end. So to me, they actually, if this is true, they position that match as like a focus match. Because you've got your, you know, Becky, ladder match to sustain it, really using the LWO stuff to come down a little bit, bring it back up with Jimmy and Jay.
Yeah, they are going to have, they need to have a very fast-paced physical match.
Yes.
They cannot spend too long in a, I mean, I guess maybe we describe it as any match, but this in particular, they can't spend too long in a chin lock or an arm bar or what have you. This has to be a pretty compact match, I think.
Yeah, and but it also lends itself to shenanigans too.
It does. I imagine Solo will make his way into the match at some point.
Yeah, and it just, who knows what else? I mean, you can always pull Rikishi out, get his boys back together. Go ahead. Sorry.
You could. Yeah. No. I mean, you could do something like that. But again, I mean, with the other matches coming later that night and the next night, I don't know if you want to go. You want to go too crazy with this one?
True. Yeah, especially when you can go crazy at the end of the night, if you want. All right, prediction time. Who you got?
I think Jay's just gonna win clean.
Yeah. I was thinking Jay as well. The only way I can see Jimmy winning is if Solo comes in and they want to establish, hey, that thumb's still dangerous, and takes Jay down.
That if you take Jay out for the rest of the night,
yeah,
and also the next night, maybe two, it adds to the, oh my God, Cody's in danger, it's hopeless.
Yep.
So, but Jay also doesn't have to necessarily lose the match for them to still play that card.
Yes. Oh, very true. Very true. So, but I have Jay as well. So, I know we're being boring so far. All right. Let's go to the women again. Rhea and Becky. Well, Becky's making a big deal about how her deal has 2 months left. Which, you know, that could just be nonsense. Who knows? We talked about it together about how I think you agreed. Like, Becky's just not the Becky that was before.
No, there's something. She's trying to rely on this, the 2018, 2019 man persona, but she doesn't have anything to be angry about. You know, she's going on interviews talking about Rhea doing the stink face like it's disgusting and regressive, reductive, you know, anti-feminist or whatever the hell, and it's just like, you're not coming off. You're not coming off like the baby face here.
Yeah, you're coming off like a grumpy old bastard.
Yeah. Becky does not really have anything logical to really be mad at Rhea for.
I mean, she tried
so it does
mentioning
come off like that.
She tried bringing up kids as a reason.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
And Rhea did do that, but at the same time, it's just, so what?
Everyone brings up their kids now, so
yeah. Everyone brings that. I mean, and Seth was Seth was absolutely right by saying, "Oh boy, to Drew McIntyre, oh real original, you know, saying my wife's a bigger star than me. Oh boy, you know, it's so played out that to play off of their relationship and then having a kid or whatever. But it just speaks to the idea that." The idea of Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley that were probably in people's heads 6 months ago is not quite what it's turned out to be. Because they struggled to figure out a reason for them beyond just, I have the title, I want the title, why they should be mad at each other. And maybe they just should have stuck to, I have the title, I want the title.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that would have been fine. Like, old guard, new guard. You know? There's nothing wrong with that. And instead, it's funny how we always end up talking about Becky on shows somehow. Because I remember talking to you about when she came back. And they had, like, that passing on the aisle. or the ramp, whatever. And it was like, well, now what are they going to do? Like, and it was like, well, they got to drag this out for a year. And it's like, ugh. I mean, they did. But in the meantime, like, they picked up, you know, picked up a lot of dirt they're dragging behind it. So
yeah, and once again, Rhea Ripley is going to be 100% babyface, probably maybe even by the night Raw the night after.
Oh,
and she's going to get the majority of the cheers here. I think Becky's smart enough to realize that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance in hell she gets booed, unless she loses. But that wouldn't be, you know, them booing her. That's booing the decision.
Yeah, I mean how? And you disagreed with me. But when I said at that press event that Becky used the "you're going to be on bottom line" way too early, I was right about that because Becky's had no material since. That is the heat of this whole thing. Becky has no material for this.
Yeah, yes, and she really hasn't. And I think that's added to like the lackluster build for this. And like, all right. Like, this is the match we want to see, but it's like the build-up didn't deliver to get to the match we wanted to see, which, like, I mean, you said, is too old now.
And having them do a work scuffle on Ariel Helwani's show moments after CM Punk went scorched earth.
All right, so...
That was embarrassing.
That Punk interview was so long, I watched it in broken up pieces. And then I saw, like, on their Instagram, Becky shows up, and I'm like, this is cringe. Like,
it is cringe. It is always cringe when they run angles on mainstream media shows. It's always cringe. Do you remember, this would have been like probably early 98, I think. Diamond Dallas Page was on, it wasn't even TRL yet with Carson Daly. It was really early in Carson Daly's run.
Yes, I know exactly what you're going to say, yeah.
Yeah. And then Raven jumps him, DDTs him, steals the belt, and Carson Daly and I don't know who was it, the Foo Fighters, somebody else was on the set at the time, and not a single one of them knew how to react to this at all. And then they looked embarrassed to be there.
I'm looking up who the bad boy is. It's gonna be somebody funny. So, but yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And like Ariel Helwani is just like sitting there, like, what? Like, you think what you want of him, but it's like, they let her in without secure, like, it's just, whatever. And it was actually, to me, I thought it was a misstep. Because, like you said, you just had CM Punk out in and out of character. You had Rhea Ripley in and out of character, and then Becky comes in character. And it's like, are we really supposed to buy, like, these two hate each other? Like, come on. We know in storyline they're mad, she's mad. That's it. Like, keep your reality in reality. But I know, like, Triple H likes playing with that stuff. But yeah, it was so dumb, and it makes me not. I haven't watched it. It makes me not want to watch the Rhea Ripley interview. Like,
it was nothing special. She was probably working most of the time in it. Once again, after what Punk did, that was asinine. Now, granted, maybe what Punk did wasn't exactly planned, but, I mean, Ariel asked the questions, and Punk's going to be Punk.
Well, why do you think I'm trying to burn through these boring matches? Because I want to talk about that, so. But, yeah, it was the Foo Fighters. Yeah, they're sitting right next to Diamond Dallas Page.
I cannot believe I remember
that. Is
that
hilarious. Wow.
God, if I could use this for something lucrative. Jesus.
Yeah, you're not. So, but yeah, but I'm now going to have to watch the segment again. But just imagine, you're just sitting there, and like, every time wrestling does this and the people aren't in on it, it's like, what? Like, why are they doing this? Like, wait. Like, I don't know. Everyone's got like Kaufman, Lawler in their head, I guess. When they do stuff like this. Like, we've seen what happens when reality gets in there. David Schultz and, oh, God, what was that guy's name? The dude he choked out.
Stossel.
Yeah, little fucking weasel. And it just, like, that's the reality of it. Like, I was like, I'm going to sue you. What the hell? And it's like, all right. Anyways. So after all this, which has just sounded like nothing but negative, right? I think this is probably gonna be like Trish and Becky in the cage. This is gonna probably blow our doors off.
What's probably going to be even more like? Rhea versus Charlotte. By the sheer force of will, it's going to be one of the best matches of the entire weekend. Because once the bell rings.
That I just, there's that I could not believe, and I could not believe that cage match we saw in person. Because we're both sitting, like all three of us are sitting, like this is really good, right? Like it's not just me. Like no, this is good. Because you can always tell because when we all shut up and just watch, it's like it's just captivated you, and that's what I really think. That's what'll happen. Especially with Becky saying she wanted to go on first again, and it's like that's a tone setter. So yeah, and it's like I guess I'll do prediction first this time. I think Rhea wins.
No, I think Rhea wins as well. I don't think it's time. Becky's not ready. It feels like she's gonna at least take some time off. And she needs to figure. Yeah, I think she and the company need to figure out what's next for her.
Yeah, I mean she's not ready to. I mean, obviously not ready to call it quits, you know. But with a child that's growing, I mean, I know that they say they take her with them, but it's like, you know, those needs change after a while too, and that's
Kid's
the
got to go
only.
to school at some point.
Yeah, that's the only. Well, I guess you can homeschool, but anyways,
I guess, but that, yeah, but I don't know. What was that? I'm not speaking for other people.
right?
I wouldn't do that for a kid, no matter how much money or whatever I had.
Yeah, because you always turn out to be that.
I'd probably be the type of rich person who'd still make my kid go to public school.
Make him ride the bus. I love
I would.
some people are like, oh, you know, when I'm rich, I'm just gonna live on an island by myself. And you're going, yeah, you know, even if I have money, I'm gonna make my kid go to public school. Like, goddamn, Warren Buffett, calm down. Try and pretend you
Well,
love your
maybe.
kids.
You did bring up a good point.
Yeah, I could do anything I want in this world. No, you're riding the bus, and that's the end of it. And then college, you have to pay for it yourself too. So,
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
but yeah, I just think this is gonna be probably one of the better matches of the weekend, and I hate saying that because it's probably gonna suck now because I always have the golden touch of bagging on something like we kind of bagged on Jay and Jimmy. That's probably gonna steal the show, and I'll
I
just be
hope
like.
I hope it does. And once again, Becky and Rhea are gonna have every advantage of being first in this, new world where first doesn't mean worst.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
it's you put your second or third biggest match of the night on at that point, and just, you're on fire. You're gonna have a crowd that's on fire. They're gonna be, you're gonna get the juuling mommy Becky chants, with probably the Becky, I said the mommy chants being louder. You're gonna get all of that.
You know, the only disappointing part, and I'm being dead serious, would be Rhea's entrance because I think that Judgment Day entrance would look really cool at night. And we're gonna get all of them probably when it's light out. Well, I don't know. If this starts at
Well,
seven, starts at seven.
it's 7. It's still Philadelphia in April. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And the sadness in that city probably owns a dark cloud over it anyways. That's for Shahid.
I mean,
So,
I'd hope that, maybe they get the band that does Rhea's song, even when they're not a no name band or anything, to do to sing her live. That would be a good way to do it.
that'd be cool. But if she gets a special interest, she's guaranteed to lose. So, you know, nah. But no, I don't see it's time. I don't see Rhea losing. So, let's see what else we got here. All right, I guess we have to save the main event for last. So, Gunther and Sammy. What a weird build.
It has been a very weird build. That I'll agree with you with. It's from the start, it was all very awkward when they included so many other people in it, and put more of the focus on Chad Gable, yeah. And then, okay, Sammy's got the match. We're laying the doubt that he could beat Gunther, but he had gotten his losing streak out of the way. Then he ran into Bronson Reed, and that was stupid. Like, they just did not have the time to tell the story they're telling.
No, and especially, they had that, I mean, it was kind of cheesy, don't get me wrong, but it's also Rocky III, but it's like, the training vignette, again, pretty cool.
It was cool. They should have done like 3 or 4 weeks worth of them.
Exactly.
They
should have had the scene with them running on the beach. I'm saying it now.
And they should have gotten the rights to the music.
Oh my God, that would have been so funny.
All of it. The original Rocky theme. Eye of the Tiger. Hearts on Fire. The other one. the other one from Rocky IV.
Yeah.
The one where he's on the motorcycle after Creed dies. They should have gotten all. They should have done all of this.
It would. Yeah. But, yes. There's no other answer. Yes. And what's funny is there's a whole generation that doesn't know what that's from. That has no idea what they were doing there. But it's also not the first time they've used Rocky. Remember when Shane and Vince were training for the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, they did. They used the original music. Yes.
But he was also, like, Shane was doing Chase the Chicken and all that stuff. That was so great.
It was great. Yeah. It was a total missed opportunity but they had to do a convoluted thing, a gauntlet match, and give people's hopes up about Gable again, when they just could, if it was going to be Sammy all along, they just could have made it official a while ago, stole them the stuff with Gable, and done like 3 or 4 weeks of these types of vignettes.
Yeah, I would have been all for it. And that's why last night they kept doing vignettes, and I was like, these are great. It's like the old days. They used to do it all the time. So now with Triple H in charge, it's like, hey, I'm going to remember to bring back what used to work. So anyways, this is going to be good.
It's going to be really, really good. There's no way around it, yes.
So, who do you think's going to win? Yeah, just say it. It's fine. I'll be sad.
No, I'm going to say that they're still going to put over Gunther.
See,
I don't know.
I'm trying to get my bias knocked out.
But then no other major, because nobody really cares about the tag titles. I mean, the ladder match is just there to be a car crash.
Yeah.
You're not changing a major title then on night one. I don't feel it's right now.
I don't either, but like, it kind of ties into night two. If Drew beats Seth and Gunther loses to Sammy, are we looking at Gunther and Drew eventually, or
at that point it probably would be Gunther Cody to really jump ahead, but yeah.
Well, he's going for Roman's title, so Cody be on SmackDown.
Not necessarily. I can see them changing some things up.
Oh, like a draft or whatever.
Yeah, something. Right. Something to change some things up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it opens up opportunity. The way we described it and you specifically really got me is like the Rocky stuff. It's in, like, this match is in Philadelphia. It just seems tailor-made now for Sammy to win. And it's not that I'm against Sami Zayn. I'm not a fan, because I am. I'm just a giant Gunther mark. It breaks my heart thinking he's going to lose. And a part of this training montage I thought they were going to do was, I guess I just keep waiting for Sammy to go back to the more clean cut look, if you want to put it that way. Shorter hair, shorter beard, all that stuff.
That guy wasn't a star.
No, but it's also like getting back to basics, you know, when he was Sami Zayn. You know, but then again,
I mean, really, he only has to get back to where he was a year ago.
Right, and that's where I was going with that. It was like, well, yeah, he looked like that before, so whatever. But, I mean, I remember reading or watching an interview, like, I think it was Steve Austin he was talking to. And Steve Austin was like, yeah, you're a good-looking kid. He's like, hey, I grew all this out because I was the bad guy, you know? So it's like, yeah, I'm supposed to look bad. So it's like, well, you're the good guy now. It could be the time for a change, but, you know, it's obviously, I don't know why he decided to change his look that way. So, whatever. But, yeah, I'm begrudgingly saying Sammy's going to win.
I'll pick Gunther. I'll stay with Gunther.
You picking Gunther made me happy, and that's all I needed out of this one. I didn't even want to talk about this one. That's how big of a Gunther mark I am, dude. This guy can do no wrong. And just... So the main event... I can't do it. Oh, boy. What a... Listen, for Plan B... this thing... This has been... Maybe I'm making too much of it. I want to say captivating TV, but boy, has it been like no TV we've seen in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It has been just some amazing television. It has come from this ass backwards mistake they made.
And it's like, okay. The big problem with this is every time Rock and Roman are together, Rock overshadows Roman. It's just the way he looks, the way he acts, talks, everything. He's more dynamic. And then all of a sudden, Roman comes out, actually raises his voice, has an increasingly harsher cadence to how he's talking. And it's like, oh, he's actually blowing up a little bit, like in a good way, not like he's exhausted. It's like he needed that fire to like compete with The Rock, but it's still The Rock. And now it's like, I want to see Cody versus The Rock. I want to see Seth and The Rock now. And Roman's just kind of over there like, I am the champion. So I have... zero idea what's going to happen in this match. But the way they've booked it, Cody and Seth have to win, right? Good lord.
I think they... once again, we're going to be opposite here. I think they have to lose so the next night can be the biggest clusterfuck that ever... that ever clusterfucked. But yeah, because it's just how to end this reign. I mean, it's going to be... it's going to be nuts. And yes, I mean, Roman and Cody will have their time. But yes, this match will definitely be more about The Rock and The Rock being in the ring. I know they still try to claim that Eric Rowan bullshit. But the first time in 11 years. And, you know, what's it going to be like when he's actually in the ring? Taking bumps, delivering his big moves after he's been in there for a while. I could see them starting this match with Rock and Cody, and not like building to it. I mean, I guess the Heat would be building to it, but I think maybe you just start with them in the ring together.
Yeah, it's like, well, like there's so much heat between like Cody and Rock, and now Seth and Rock. You're getting it either way, but I know Cody's the star here, so it makes sense. I'm still of the mind that Cody and Seth win this match.
Cool.
And that at the end of the night on Sunday, it still can be a clusterfuck. Kind of like how they had it last year. I'm not trying to get ahead. You can still do shenanigans big time in the main event because Roman's a liar. They've already showed he's a liar. And now you can show that Rock is a liar too.
Well, yeah. You can do it like that, yeah.
So that's why I just... I mean, they got... Cody got his ass beat. And then they even show, like, cameras are off, which I loved this touch.
That was great. That was really great.
And he's like, what, just because the cameras are off? He's like, no. But it's like, hey, Rock, stop swearing. Like, we get it. Not all the time. And then I guess they did the same thing again last night when the camera shut off. They were still hitting them. So it's like, all right, you've got to give, like, Cody and Seth something, or it's going to look really weird Sunday. And I guess the problem with the Bloodlines rules match, you know, it's so open to interpretation. Rock said they can do whatever they want, and it's like, well, why not just disqualify Cody as soon as he walks on the ring? You know, just something like that. So, you know, if there was a more structured idea of what bloodline rules meant, I think I'd lean a little more towards Roman and Rock winning. But then again, I have zero idea.
Yeah, and of course, bloodline rules on Monday just meant your generic hardcore match.
Yeah, and that's what I would expect. But then Rock started throwing out all these, you know, Solo can sing the national anthem, and Jimmy can do this.
It was a weird deal, and I see how you could still, you know, have Cody and Seth win, but then still have some shoe drop the next night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could, you know, Cody and Roman are in the ring. There's no referee in the ring with them. And then the ring announcer announces, our special guest referee, The Rock, because he's on the board and he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Oh, true.
You know, something like that. They can do something like that. And
so...
I'm going to, because we're really trying to be opposite here, and it is what I believe, I do think Rock and Roman are going to win this thing. Just to stamp that, oh my God, it's hopeless.
Okay, I totally understand that. I don't know. I guess maybe, is this where we get into like fantasy booking philosophies?
I guess
like,
so. Yeah.
That's where you're like, all hope is lost, and then I'm like, well, it almost is a bigger deal if Cody just beats Rock. God damn it! See, if Cody beats Roman 1-on-1. Nothing happens. Everyone's waiting for it. Everyone's waiting for it. And it's like, wait, what's going on here? And I guess it can get into fantasy booking a little bit, but there is a way for Rock and Roman to like kind of turn on each other. And that's, you know, because they made a point of saying Roman told Rock to do the hit. I think Paul Heyman mentioned it. And then, you know, Roman's like, I didn't need him to do it, but he wanted to, so I told him to. And it's like, is Rock going to get tired? And yes, that quick, because he's being shown to be an egomaniac. Is he going to be get his fuse going to get that short with Roman? Say something happens in this match, and Roman wants the pin. You know, something basic. Like, Rock's got him beat. And Roman's like, nope, I'm the champ, I'm the head of the table, I'm pinning him. And then somehow Roman gets rolled up, or Roman causes Rock to get rolled up for a loss or something, you know? And plants that seed of like, you know, if I didn't listen to you, and then if you go to the next night where Rock's supposed to help Roman, Rock's like, nah, help you do it yourself. And that's when then Roman loses that way. Then you can kind of get Roman and Rock, you know? But that's fantasy booking. I guess I'm just going to go with taste. not taste, but just like ideas. And yeah, I we'll be opposite. I'll take Cody and Seth. And
but now I'm rethinking my choice of Gunther. Because that's just too many. That would literally be two just soul crushing heel wins in a row if this match order is correct.
But that's what makes the celebration for night two that grander.
Yeah, that's true too.
So, if there's a celebration.
But yeah, no. So I stand by all my picks.
All right. So now
and
we're on.
We can move on and we can go as long as you want. I got nothing to do tonight.
I got nothing to do. This is my favorite time of year. I'm being dead serious. Like I was telling some of the people at the gym. Listen, it's like, what are you doing this weekend? Nothing. Starting Wednesday, that's when all the indie shows start running. That I'm gonna. Oh, you know you can sign up for Triller for free, right? You get a 7-day free trial, and you get everything for free, for the most part. So if you want some indie events, just use your email. And apparently, even if you've ordered in the past, you can still get a 7-day free trial. So I was like, okay. But I've told people, this is my stuff. I am unabashedly a fan of this stuff. I don't care what you think. I don't care, yes, that. So don't bother me unless you want to come over. And then don't sit there and go, this looks fake, because I'll throw your ass out. And people actually are like, are you serious? Like, yes, I'm dead serious. So like Saturday, I will be home all day. Sunday, yes, I'm going to go and do something, and then I will be home to start watching the pre-show because I'm an idiot. And yes, I'm going to watch the press conferences. Yes, I'm watching NXT. I mean, I said, you guys had your religious holiday last weekend. This is my religious holiday. That's it. Like, don't put it down. Don't try and tell me anything insulting. I'm not fucking stupid. I'm 50 years old now. I understand how this works. So anyways, a little diatribe for absolutely no reason. So day two, sorry about that. All right. We have the throw-on matches. Well, not really, actually. The Philadelphia Street Fight is really the only match that got thrown onto this. And it's got to, I mean, I'm just going to go straight to the who's and what's. The Street Profits and the Hurt Business have to win, right? It's just, they've been getting beat down and losing the whole time.
Yeah. And,
okay. So, there's that. man, every time I see AOP, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Both of us. Both. Are they actually calling themselves the Hurt Business again?
No. I think they tried to go with the Pride, but then dropped it.
That's good. That's stupid. So
it was stupid, yes.
All right. This is not a throw-on match, and it's actually gotten some good buzz due to promos and backstage stuff. LA Knight and AJ Styles? I'm actually kind of looking forward to this, because Styles hasn't really wrestled on TV too much since he's come back from injury. Really, nor is LA Knight. He had Royal Rumble, the Elimination Chamber, and he's just kind of been around. He hasn't really exposed himself on TV too much in the ring, so, you know, it's kind of like a, hey, we're back sort of match. The personalities are so, they clash, like, distinctly. So, this has got to be like LA Knight's coming out party, right? Or is like that ship kind of sailed?
I think it's the real, it could be a relaunch.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd still loves him.
Yeah.
So, it just, you know, with everybody else coming back like this, this poor guy is just, like, gotten lost in the shuffle again. And really, it's like, why didn't he win Money in the Bank? Because, you know, as much as Damian Priest is pretty good, he hasn't done squat with that thing. So, you know, but this is just an old-fashioned grudge match. And they've like cut away like the OC. They're all like off on the way, so it's just AJ and LA Knight. I don't know. I'm actually kind of looking forward to this one. What about you?
No, I'm looking forward to it too. I think it's going to be really a match. I think they've done a good job with it. It could have meant nothing, but you know, for the sheer force of you know, really both guys, it feels like a satisfying grudge match. And I don't think there's any other finish than LA Knight winning this thing.
Well, we're gonna be boring. Yep, you're right. So, although I told this to Kevin on the show, I love the fact LA Knight went to his house in the whatever gated community AJ's in, right? And the cops are like, "We're taking you down," and he goes, "Oh, that's fine. Now I'm gonna come right back." And I'm like, "Okay." Like, it's like everything you're not supposed to say, he's saying it. And then he says he's going to come back, and then AJ doesn't press charges. Like, okay, wrestling rules says that would never happen in real life. So, all right. Triple threat, U.S. Championship match, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. It doesn't feel like a retread, but we already had Logan Paul and Kevin Owens. And I know Logan Paul cheated to win, but, like, why does Randy Orton want the U.S. title? I guess just to take it from Logan Paul?
No, I don't think Logan Paul is losing this match.
I don't either. And I think... You know, the camaraderie of Randy and Kevin is not going to work, and that's how it ends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
They're too chummy. They've done no dissension between them.
Well, no, Randy did... He was about to RKO Kevin Owens and stopped. And Kevin's like, "What the hell's that?" He's like, "I didn't know it was you, but still, it's Randy Orton." And no matter what, like, it's over... As a babyface as Kevin Owens can get, people are not going to cheer or boo Randy Orton right now. I don't think he's got it in him anymore. He's like kind of been grandfathered into babyfaces now. Unless he does something like really heinous, like cost Cody the match or something, then sure. But that ain't going to happen, as far as I know. But, yeah, this just seemed like, all right, we don't know what to do with Kevin and Randy right now, so... All right, Logan Paul, you're it. And, yeah, you got to get him on the show. And is this only his second title defense?
Yes.
All right. So, and this dude, he somehow continually weasels his way into being with really good workers and, like, over people. I mean, look at everyone he's faced in the ring. For a guy who's on, what, his fifth, sixth match? I mean, I know I always forget about him and Miz teaming up. But then Ray, Roman, Seth, Kevin Owens, who am I missing?
Ricochet.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ricochet's WWE career hasn't exactly been great, but... Good, I mean, a good matchup between the two, or matchup of people. Yeah. So, but that now here is on WrestleMania with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. A charmed life, man.
Yeah.
Well, plus, you know, it's not like he's been dicking off either. The guy's clearly working. So.
Oh yeah, he is. It's going to get to the point where you're not shocked by how good he is. And maybe that will be the test.
I'd be shocked when he has something bad. So it's like, give him... I don't want to disparage anybody. Give him Otis. Someone that's totally polar opposite than anything he's ever had. And see how it goes. You know, just something like that. And that's not disparaging Otis at all. Although, on a quick Otis aside... Did you see the Philly cheesesteak competition today.
I saw some of it, yeah.
Did you see Otis? He thought Io Shirai's name was Leo.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
he's been calling that for like 2 years.
And the funniest part about that is he was doing like his character voice and like look and all that stuff. And he was like, oh yeah, Big Leo. And Big E calls him. He's like, what did you say your name is? Io Shirai, you know, just doing the Shirai on purpose. And he goes, that is not her name. And all of a sudden, and like Otis is one of those, like a Clark Kent Superman thing, where his face and mannerism and voice change immediately. He's like, you know, doing like the usual Otis voice. And then he's like, wait. He goes, wait, no, her name's Io? Like, oh no. And they're all laughing at him. And it's like, it's the real guy behind Otis Dozovich being like, oh my God. God, like, I can't believe this. Like, and it's live, so you can't even cover it up. I just thought that was really funny. It just shows you these guys are something else. All right, so we've eliminated all of what I will put air quotes around as filler. There is only one women's match on this compared to night one. So, I guess we'll get it out of the way. I don't know. Seems like a rude way of saying it. Well, we're here. Been kind of a weird road for this one. Bayley and Io Shirai for the SmackDown, or no, it's the Women's World Championship?
Yeah.
Or is that the WWE one?
I don't remember.
Either one. So the one that's on SmackDown. The breakup was cool because Bayley, you know, lets it be known she knows English. And surprises her stablemates, who are being dickheads behind her back, but then the whole group's full of a bunch of dickheads. And it's always weird when the heels turn on another heel, and all of a sudden that heel that gets turned on is the babyface. Like, wouldn't that make the other ones good guys? Because they got rid of the worst one of the group? Possibly? Anyways. And then Dakota Kai comes back, turns on Bayley, which I thought was a little too soon, but whatever. And here we are. Everyone's favorite Bayley. I'm looking forward to this, but it's definitely going to be a clash of styles.
It could be, but I think they'll make it work. And I think that, you know, I think they're both good enough to make this work. I'm not gonna say that it's such a clash of styles that it can't work.
Right. It's like I don't remember the last time Io wrestled.
Yeah, no, she wrestled Naomi last week.
Oh God, that's right. Duh.
She's been wrestling, you know, every other week or so.
It just seems like not a lackluster title reign, but, I mean, even Rhea on her end, it wasn't until recently she was finally defending that belt more. Or title, excuse me. And now we got Io, and, like, the biggest match that she's had a title defense in is going to be WrestleMania against Bayley. I know she, like, wrestled Naomi, but it's like, who else did she defend that title with? From? I don't even remember.
Not really. No. She's not had memorable matches for the title. I mean, it's been all building up to this match.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, it's Bayley and Io Shirai. I don't think there's a chance in hell this will be bad. Placement, it's gonna be pretty crazy. Like, there's no down match on night two outside the street fight. Everything else is like star power, so they're, I mean, obviously gonna really have to bring it, which, you know, as I just got done saying, they will. I see Io Shirai winning, though.
I think Bayley's winning this.
All right. Finally. It just, I don't know, it just seems like there's too many odds against Bayley for me. Damage control, I mean, I guess Naomi and Jade and Bianca, if she wants to, can show up and help her and help, like, keep damage control away. But then why would they?
But then you can't. But then you can't have that finish mirror the main event too much.
Right. Exactly. So
I mean, you could have all this, you know, tell the three of them the other three that they're banned from ringside, and just leave it to Io and Bayley.
I think that'd be fresh. I mean, you know, I mean, but again, I've never understood why, like, the heels, they're like, you're banned from ringside. Okay. Like, remember, Solo got tossed last year and then came back. So,
yeah.
But, I don't know. It just seems like the story shouldn't really end with Bayley winning all of a sudden. Like, not all of a sudden, but right now. But, it's, she changed her character. People booed her. She stayed in that same character. People started to love Bayley. So, okay. Like, if she wins, I won't be surprised. Just right now, I don't think it's time yet. So, there's that one. All right. We got two left. Yes. All right. Well, we know what's coming now. Well, we're here. It wasn't supposed to be Drew McIntyre. It is now. Like, even CM Punk on Iroh Hawani said it was supposed to be him and Seth. And I just started thinking, where the hell was Drew supposed to go? I guess him and Sammy? Was that supposed to be the plan?
I think that might have ended up being the plan, yeah.
So, which would explain all the losses to Drew. So, all right. Contract situation, unknown to the regular fan. They don't know this stuff anyways. But this is WrestleMania, so there's not too many regular fans, I guess. But this match is being carried by one guy whose attention is also diverted. Like, Seth clearly inserted himself with Cody. Drew and Seth are the match, but Drew won't stop talking about CM Punk. To the point that they put CM Punk on commentary for this match.
Yes.
It's like, wait, I know Triple H booking likes when, like, different feuds collide every once in a while, or a feud has more than one person, but good lord. It's like Seth was like, I'm the workhorse. He had that awful promo about not sweating Drew McIntyre, which I still thought was a bad idea, even though they tried, you know, they pivoted away from it. Drew has been on fire with the promos in that.
Yes, he has. And there was that moment last week when Seth showed up. It's just like, oh, well, you go away. The adults are talking.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk is going to be a hell of a deal. And if Punk can come back soon enough that it happens in Glasgow, Scotland, holy shit.
Boy. I mean, the way he talked on that show, which I really wish we had time to talk about, because it's just...
I am all night.
All right. So, well, how long have we been going here? Because I have an idea off the top of my head. Oh, we got... All right. We're only an hour and 13. That ain't bad. So
We're not even to you and Kevin territory yet.
Ugh, don't. Just don't start with that, because that's been a pain the last few weeks. Nothing. Not personally, obviously. Technology, yes. Yeah, like, Seth versus Punk in Scotland, good God.
Like, No, Drew versus Punk. Drew versus Punk.
That's what I meant, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, there's so many people. I'm surprised they didn't say Solo. I mean, Seth inserted himself, it, like, all right, for a title that he wanted to be the workhorse champion, right? And he didn't want to be like Hollywood Rock or Hollywood Roman, but he can't help but be flamboyant and stick himself into the situation he had nothing to do with. Other than Cody didn't want to face him for that title, well, now I got to get myself in here. It's like, okay, Drew's over here winning matches, and then CM Punk was supposed to be it. he cuts promos, and in every single time, even the vignette they had for the funeral, he mentioned CM Punk, which didn't it actually start with him talking about CM Punk?
He started with CM Punk, yes. Like,
okay. You can't... Maybe that's the hypocritical part of this, is that Drew is saying that Seth is preoccupied while he's doing the same thing. Oh, sorry. Oh, it's a coughing fit. But, and it's just, it lends itself to CM Punk getting involved. Like, I don't know. And I'm not calling anyone a fake, but, and I don't know anything about surgery or recovery. I've luckily never had that. CM Punk sure was, like, using his arm a lot in that interview. And especially, like, I would think for, a tricep tendon, like, pushing yourself on your chair or on the desk and stuff would be a no-no. I guess it's what the brace is for. But it's also, like, is he a little bit better? And he actually said it in the interview. He doesn't want to pull the curtain out too much. But it's like, is he actually a lot better than people are letting on?
So it sounds like, no, he said, he already said he's healing way faster from this injury than he did the injury the night of Brawl Out.
Yeah, he sure did. And so it's like, he can insert himself, and my dream ending to this match is CM Punk costing Seth the title on accident.
Yes, I agree 100%. This is when we're going to agree 100%.
Yeah, and I want it to be Brett or Undertaker, Bret Hart at SummerSlam with Shawn Michaels as the referee.
Yeah.
And that's why I couldn't believe they didn't make CM Punk the ref. He hates both guys. Hates. So it would make sense. He doesn't care who wins. So it could have been the same thing. And not you don't even need it to be a chair this time. It could be CM Punk trying to hit Drew with his bionic elbow, the brace. He misses and hits Seth. And then, Punk has to count Seth out. And he's like, I can't believe that just happened. Drew can make fun of him. Seth can be pissed at Punk. He already is. And we can move on. It just seems like the perfect ending. And even if Punk just costs Seth a match, that way Seth has an out, plus getting his ass kicked around the night before. I just dread the heroic Seth winning. I think that's the wrong idea.
It is very much the wrong idea, yeah, no. Then I guess Drew might as well, I want to say might as well leave, because he could still have a grudge match with Punk, but it won't mean as much.
Right. No, it won't mean as much at all.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, there's still things you could do with Seth as champion. Priest still has that damn briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
You got Gunther, possibly, Gunther, not possibly, he is ready to move to that next level.
Oh, yeah.
It's just how you get the Intercontinental title off of him in the meantime.
I still like the idea, but whatever.
Yeah, but, no, that's not happening.
Obviously.
But yeah. I mean, there's still Seth. I guess still has some opponents, but God, no one who's put in this the work that Drew McIntyre has the last few months should not be rewarded for it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, it's all signs for me point to Drew winning, which makes me think he's going to lose. And I would hate that. And I don't think that the crowd there wants Seth to win either. I just don't see the Philly crowd being, outside of being puppets or sheep and like, oh, a song. I don't see them, like, Drew has been on fire. And even like the CM Punk stuff, when he would like interject himself, like CM Punk's talking, he's like, hey, we're PG here, buddy, or you don't want to get canceled, or whatever he was saying to him. like those little off the cuff things. And I know it went long and made some people mad, but it's funny. Like that's what's like. It's like, I'm sorry, Maxine Dupri, you got your time cut because the stars were talking. And I know it's a shitty thing to say, but it's the truth. So let the stars be the stars and let this like logically play out. Because if Drew loses again, is that four times in a row to Seth?
It'd be three.
Oh, so it'd be three, just like Cody beating him. But that's a little different circumstances, too. So, yeah, it all signs point to Drew. Drew having a good time, and I know you're going to say no, but no one's cashed in on the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania in a while. So, you know, maybe they spice it up and have Damian Priest cash it in on him on Monday.
On who?
I don't know. On Drew.
Why? That makes no sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense. But say Drew hasn't actually signed a contract.
Yeah.
Gotta get it off of him.
I guess so. But no.
Or maybe Punk does something, and Drew like incapacitates Drew, and that's how Damian does it. And then Drew has a reason to be mad at him for Scotland. Just throwing shit on. This is literally off the top of my head. Just throwing
that's
stuff
all,
out there.
It's all very bad. I gotta tell you.
Gee, thanks. Boy, I can see we're in a pitch meeting. Chris will be sitting in the other end just going, oh, this fucking guy again. Oh, my God.
No, I mean, there is no good time for Priest to cash this thing in.
No, you're right.
The time was towards the end of 2023 or early 2024. He could have cashed in and had a very short reign. But now it's just like, you can't screw over Drew again. And obviously we're going to get into the next match, and there's nowhere he fits in. And of course, the entire Judgment Day faction is significantly less over than they were, you know, around the time of War Games, for example.
Oh yeah.
Priest has been knocked down the guard. You know, he's feuding with R-Truth, for fuck's sake. You know, God bless R-Truth. But
I still thought it would have been good if Priest cashed in and R-Truth messed it up. But that should
maybe
far,
you could
far.
Yeah, maybe you could have done that too.
Yeah.
But my God, so many people have failed with that briefcase, and Money in the Bank as a paper as a whole concept is just fighting for relevancy, but they still insist on doing it every year and having two ladder matches on it and that damn show.
Well, who are you taking?
I'm taking Drew.
All right. We've called every match except EO and Bailey different, the same. Shit. We're either going to look like geniuses or idiots. So
yeah,
well, here we go. The match a year in the making. Some weird asides. An even stranger tag match the night before, with the clearly much bigger star than everyone involved. Cody and Roman running it back from last year's WrestleMania. Where the wrestling world was shocked, Cody didn't win. What more needs to be said? I really don't know. I mean, we sort of covered with some of the tag. I still think this is going to be full of shenanigans, regardless if Rock said no one would interfere, and especially if there's like no bloodline, right?
Yeah.
Say there's no bloodline, there's still going to be shenanigans if there's a ref bump. You know, it happens every Roman match. And that's why I'm kind of hoping this year, or this time, like, the Roman formula happens, and it finally, like, it just backfires.
Yeah,
or it doesn't work. I think we both agree Cody's going to win, right?
Yeah, we agree Cody's going to win.
All right. What happens? All right, so, I mean, it's, you know, it was just, get that out of the way now. Under what circumstances should Cody not win? like reasoning, like storylines, anything you can think of. And then also, how do you go about him losing again without him looking like a total dumbass?
You don't. You don't. There's no way there's no way out of it this time. I mean, they were able to save themselves because people were still into the Bloodline stuff. They did the whole thing with the Usos turn and, you know, we were able to run that for like 3 or 4 months, basically. Cody had Brock to feud with. Now, that was incredibly over and worked. I don't know what you do. There's nothing you can do this time. There's no one left for. There's really no one left for Roman to feud with. And Cody, at that point, then he might as well challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah,
because it's over.
Or Logan Paul.
Or Logan Paul. Yeah. I mean, he will never be champion. He will never be the undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. In his life.
Yeah.
It can't happen. It won't happen.
Well, and also, like, even Rock even said, you don't get another shot at this. So that is quite literally, in storyline, the last time. And it, you know, it harkens back to when he faced Jericho. Which I don't know if they're playing on that or not.
I don't think they are. I don't think enough of the powers that be in WWE know or care about that.
Well, I would think Cody would bring it up, you know, because I'm sure he's involved in this too, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way someone's just writing stuff for him. And it's like, well, for the people who know, that could be a little quick little, oh no. Because we've seen it before, you know? Like, it's like every single thing should be stacked against Cody in this.
Yeah.
And that's just like another added wrinkle, which they want to acknowledge AEW, whatever. But they're obviously not. But it just seems like, man, if Cody loses, I know their business is up, and I know this is like a overreaction, but if Cody loses, does that hurt their business? I'm being dead serious on that. Everyone's ready, and. I know not everyone, but the vast majority of people are ready for Cody to win this. One, just like, all right, so we don't have to hear any more about ending his story. And then two, it's enough time, like enough about Roman. Really. So, like, what do we do if Cody, what do we do as fans? And also, like, what happens to WWE's business? Like you said, Roman's got no one except Rock, which we're going to drag that out for another year of Roman not being around.
And people will not accept that match after Cody loses. They'll accept it as a non-title attraction match, for sure, but not with the title at stake.
Yeah.
People will remember this for the rest of their lives, basically.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Rock Hogan, that there was no title there. So. Yeah. You know,
it never needed that. And once again, there's always the argument that Roman should have just lost to Cody last year. But once again, they've had huge business, you know, upticks, you know, even since then. I mean, going into last year's WrestleMania, business was way up, and it's even gotten further up since then. Yeah. You know, so once again, where we're at right now, as long as Cody does win, it was all worth it. And
yes,
you know,
yes.
but also maybe gotta wonder. Roman Reigns has been pulling this card. Does business just drop anyway once his era is over?
I mean, it's an honest thought, but
no matter who it's to,
but him losing. Doesn't necessarily mean his story's over. Like,
right,
that story's over. That just means Roman... Well, one, wouldn't he get a rematch, I'm guessing? You know, you'd think. after having a title for near 4 years now. So you have that, and then you also have the obvious, hey, your cousin's in the back pocket sort of thinking. And it's like, all right, and Roman, you know, even if Roman loses, and I think you said this, he can just take off for a while. Like we were talking about with SummerSlam. If Jay wins, Roman could just leave for a while and, like, reevaluate whatever terms you want to use. And then comes back different or better or whatever you want to say and be like, all right, next chapter. And you could even, like, hype, like, hey, Paul could say, I've talked to Roman. He's not ready to come back yet. Keep his name out there. You know, any of these things is possible. So I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think the dip's going to happen.
There's two big matches for Roman Reigns after Cody and after losing the title. The Rock is the Rock, obviously, and the other is CM Punk.
True. Yeah, big matches. Yes, I mean, as much as I love Gunther, he's not on the name of Punk and Rock, not yet.
And once again, and I'm not sure if Gunther and Roman works if both are going to stay heel.
Right, right. So
I mean, once again, it's something that could be a possibility as well. You know, and no one's saying Roman can never win the title again, or this title, or the other title, or what, or any other title.
It would be kind of fun if he lost it and then immediately went and beat. Well, if Seth wins, he just goes and beats Seth for that. It's kind of a dick move, but it also would kind of, you know, set the character. But I've been struggling with this match only because after last year, and like sometimes Triple H just likes pulling that stuff, but that's not usually his booking. I mean, you had Ciampa and I always go to this because I know they're trying to say Carmelo and Trick is the biggest match in NXT history. It's not. It's going to be good. It's going to be big for them. It's not the biggest match. I mean, they did a whole year and a half storyline with Gargano and Ciampa. And then we saw the return match. We saw the first one, what Kevin and I did, in New Orleans. And
that's the peak of NXT.
Yeah.
That is. I mean, everything, you know, beyond that, you know, it was how am I not forgetting this phrase about lack of return, loss of, I feel so dumb right now.
I don't know what you're trying to say. I'd help you out.
Every time they went back to Gargano and Ciampa, it was less of a time.
Diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that their no holds barred where Ciampa, or was it Last Man Standing where Ciampa won? I thought that was good. But it didn't have that emotional heft.
It didn't.
So And then the real culmination was, unfortunately, we never got. And that was Gargano finally winning the NXT title from Ciampa. You know, Ciampa's got hurt, so, you know, had to be Adam Cole. But Triple H always has, like, he has the correct endings. Whether you like the ending or not, it's always the correct one. And it's his book. I think that's clear as day now. There's no one else going through Bruce Pritchard. No one, like, you know, sneaky changing shit. And I'm not saying the match was changed last year, but I'm saying the match was changed last year. So I just see Cody winning this because of the way Triple H does business. I think that he's got plans for everything. And especially, I mean, I don't know if you watched that Bray Wyatt thing or not. If you're having a good day, don't. And it's brutal. And they even have the continuity guy on there who actually worked with Bray on some of this stuff, like when he was coming back as a White Rabbit. So you just know it's a different thing. You know it's a different era for creative, for writing, for storylines, for all this stuff. And I think this is like, this is the culmination of it. And I said last year after WrestleMania, we'd start seeing more of Triple H's WWE. I think this is the start of it, finally. Now that all the shit with Vince is done. So, yeah, I'm definitely going Cody. And, I mean, right? Right? God.
Yeah.
Fucking better be. It's not that I dislike Roman. It's just the story's correct if Cody wins. Not even his story. Just the storyline of this whole thing. And there's no way to defend it if Cody loses. So, I'm not going to be patient to see what happens next. Like, no. So, all right. So, let's get out of here. That's our WrestleMania preview. You said you got all night. We'll hop back on for a little bit of news and have a little special free show, which they're all free. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Hopefully we're right. Hopefully you enjoy your WrestleMania. And you can come back and tell us we were wrong. That's fine. We don't write the stuff. We just like to watch. So I am Jeremy. Chris is on the other end. I will do the outro. Listen to us on, like, iTunes, podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Stitcher doesn't exist anymore, right? Apple Music, YouTube Music, I guess. Kevin's going to put us on. Wherever you find your podcast, just go to the damn site and listen there. It's always easy. Yeah, so that's it. And happy WrestleMania week. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.